Welcome to Faith Consciousness Radio with Dr. Leslie, where you can move from being victim of your history to author of your destiny. Join us and let's do that together. Welcome, friends. So today we are talking about your vibrational contribution. The question is, are you a part of the solution or part of the problem? And you know, sometimes we might be thinking that it's different than what it is. So we're going to take a real look today. Everybody, welcome my co-host, Shari Hill. Reverend Shari, welcome. Thanks for being with me again.
Thank you. Thank you again for the invitation. I love to be part of your community online. This is awesome. Thank you.
Absolutely. And we're blessed by having you here and all the light and goodness that you are bringing to your community there, to Awaken Charlotte, and to all these listeners coming onto these airwaves now.
Yes.
Friends, we got some rain here in Charlotte, North Carolina, finally yesterday and today, and that thirsty land is just drinking it up.
Yes.
Okay, and that just reminded me, we are drinking here now. We are bringing in that living water that brings nourishment to the soul.
That's good.
Okay?
That's
Jesus good. Said, be the salt of the earth. You know what that means? Make everybody thirsty. That go, hey, you know, I don't know where it is, but I'm going to find it. Give me some of that living water, because the soul is thirsty, right? So today, friends, we're going to come together and all have a big life-bringing drink, okay,
yes,
of that living water of love and light. It's no accident that baptism happens with water. Water is an energy conductor.
Mm-hmm,
okay,
mm-hmm.
I was sharing that with, a couple clients that I had yesterday, just asking them to be hydrated as I was doing for myself before we started with that energy medicine type of healing session. And it can come through as far as that vibrational alignment that brings the body into more coherence and watches the cells of the body begin to change how they're behaving, but also the mind, where we can align and access divine knowledge and prophecy,
yes,
and that all these things are possible. And this is not new news. This is all
You're
in
so
scriptures
right.
from thousands of years ago. We are not inventing anything new. We are in some ways, we are embracing and bringing back again that which was there left for us by the ancients.
It's
right?
interesting you say that, because I recommend that too. I said it's like drinking liquid God. That's what I always suggest, that we're drinking our water, staying hydrated, and bringing in that energy.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely. Now, if I could only remember the name of that Japanese scientist that did the studies on the water.
Wow.
And
I think it's Myoto.
I think it
like
is Myoto. Yes. Where it was proven that water molecules,
yes,
hold a frequency of consciousness. Even if you write like love on a label on your water bottle,
mm-hmm,
or hate, or I hate you, he froze water that was infused with intentions or thoughts or prayers,
right,
or curses, and then examined under microscope the varying crystals that resulted. And that water, the molecules changed in its form and its expression,
correct,
according to the consciousness that was applied to it. And friends, today we're going to be talking about that. I mean, we are mostly water, and we are all being influenced by the consciousness field that we are, let's just term it this way, that we are swimming in. We are swimming, we are living in this field, in this energetic field, and science now understands it more than ever and have brought
that.
It all the way in,
mm-hmm,
to that solid awareness of fact,
yes,
where it used to be kind of mystical, spiritual, theoretical. Now it is solid science, and we're beginning to be able to prove scientifically those things,
correct,
that we only knew through religion and spirit, you know, and the invisible, okay? So we're moving now into that place where science is the bridge, and we are going to be walking that bridge, all right? We're going to be enjoying, you know what part of the gift of it is that there's more evidence for our little, smallest doubting mind mm-hmm. to stand up on. It's like training wheels on the bicycle. We get propped up more right. because we don't have to stretch as far to believe.
I We've love got that more that proof. Gap is closing.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
It totally is. So, you know, we are talking today about you and me as a vibrational contributor. And my father used to say, you know, there's two types of people in the world, mm-hmm. people that are part of the problem and people that are part of the solution. And I will consent to Dad's stereotyping because it is very easy for us if we are just on autopilot. We're likely going to get into a negative or positive feedback loop in life to where we become habitually a certain way, habitually grumpy, habitually critical, habitually looking for what's wrong that should be changed, and versus habitually joyful, habitually grateful, habitually looking for what there is to be blessed by, okay? And we can have an ongoing way of being, and my dad used to say a leopard doesn't change its spots, but I'm here to declare on Faith Consciousness Radio that we are in the era that if you so choose, yes. you may very much intentionally change those spots. It's not going to happen randomly or by accident. Those spots can change.
I can attest to that.
Right?
For
if
sure.
you diligently
yes.
apply and choose.
Yes.
Okay.
I've had to consciously choose to greet my son a different way. You know, there are times that, you know, children can be a little frustrating. And then I had to make a choice mm-hmm. on how I wanted my day to go, how I wanted our day to go, and make a conscious effort and a conscious choice to do something different, to be something different.
Yeah. Beautiful. Yeah. I call it moving from autopilot to
yes.
manual, right?
Yes.
Take it off of autopilot and you can intervene mm-hmm. and start creating from neuroscience. It's called new neural pathways.
Pathways, yes.
And it's not as easy at first because the habits you've been doing with your mind are the easiest ones to continue doing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Because
right.
the more times you have traveled that path of that thought, the easier it is for you to have that same thought come back. This is neurology. This is science.
Yeah.
It is true that those neural pathways that are well established are going to be what predominantly you fall back into unless you interject a new intention and thought.
Right.
Okay, so today is going to be about how you can choose to move from being part of the problem, whether you knew it or not, and we're going to be talking mm-hmm. about what does that look like, to part of the solution.
That's good.
Okay? So, friends, while we are navigating in this field, we are contributing to it in one way or another. And if you are scrolling through the complaint on your social media, and if you're spending 45 minutes looking at all of that debate and complaint and sometimes hatred, then you're going to carry that vibe the
yeah.
next time you speak to your child or your spouse or your coworker. So stay tuned. We're going to come back on how you can take charge of the steering wheel. Welcome back. This is Faith Consciousness Radio with Dr. Leslie. I am joined by Reverend Shari Hill on the mic with me today,
yes.
and we are talking about being part of the problem or part of the solution, and beginning to understand how every one of us is a powerful contributor to the planetary field. Okay, and guess what? This is spoken of. This dynamic is taught in Scripture.
Mm-hmm. And it's whether we recognize it or not. That's the biggest thing.
Whether you know it or not, this is what's going
that
on.
That is true.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely. So let's look at the Bible for just a minute. Okay, here we go. 1 Corinthians 12:12 says, if one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. So this is the field theory in Scripture. This is talking about the metaphor of the physical body,
mm-hmm.
and this is really talking about the community of the church here.
Right.
Now, the physical body, this is true. So if one part of your body is suffering deeply, your whole body is going to feel it, and it's going to respond in that way. Many times it's going to cause your body to go into, let's say, an inflammatory response, and it's not going to be isolated to just that one injury. It can go throughout your bloodstream, and you get inflammation throughout and have the effects of that. Okay, when you start moving into harmony intentionally, you are sending out what we call a signal. All right. Now, there's a difference. Today, we want to differentiate between noise and signal. So when we move into a coherent, focused, intentional frequency, this is called a signal. And that can be very powerful versus the whole field of a whole bunch of noise.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, that's good.
Incoherent. That's just kind of chaotic.
Chaotic, yeah,
okay?
That's the word.
So in whatever we're doing, when we move into that laser focus and when we intentionally bring our own mind to a level of gratitude and of positive affirmation that's moving into a positive expectation, this is what I call the faith frequency. Mm-hmm. When we amongst what might appear to be indicators of something different than that, when we are able to override what our eyes and ears are observing,
right,
and move into, you know, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. Mm-hmm. So when you rise above the apparent and you move into a belief in something more, you don't just impact your own world. You don't just impact what you're lining up with and what you're going to reap from your own field. Let's just say you are planting seeds with every thought and every feeling and every frequency that you emit, especially intentionally. That's like planting seeds in perfect soil with fertilizer and just the right amount of sun and rain. When you are intentional and you are precise with that planting, okay, we're not just going to collect it within our own life. When you learn how to be intentional in what you are emitting, you can impact the field around you that you are a part of. And today I want to talk a little bit about some of the scientific experiments that have shown this to be the case.
Yeah, that's exciting.
Right? Where even 1%. So that would mean if you were in a room of 100 people and you're the only one, if you align with the divine and hold that high frequency and send out amongst a lot of angry people, 99, that love frequency will significantly change the atmosphere and change all those people in the room.
Right. Change the effect of those people in the room, that charge. So that's amazing. So please share, what information did you come up with regarding?
Well, absolutely. Well, first I want to relate it to our basic premise. Our formula of creation within the teachings of faith consciousness is EVE. Eve is the way to create. Okay. EVE stands for energetic vibrational exchange. And if I were to put that into three words shorter than that, it would be input equals output. What you are planting, the scriptures say what a man reaps what he sows. That's Galatians 6:7. A man reaps, a human, woman and man,
right,
reap what we sow. So input, what we are asserting into that field that we are living in, this field of consciousness that is responsible for everything that shows up in our reality, what we put into it is going to come back, okay? Because we're like magnets.
That's right.
Okay,
that's
and like attracts like. So as we understand that, the Eve consciousness formula, I want to move that into a scientific experiment that had to do with critical mass and what we call the 100th monkey syndrome. All right. Now, this was an experiment done decades ago, and it had to do with a study of monkeys. All right. Let me tell you about it. it's real research, but it also got a little fascinating twist when it comes to almost like legend. But we're talking about something that actually happened in 1952. Japanese researchers were studying monkeys that are known as the snow monkeys on an island called Koshima. And they started leaving sweet potatoes on the beach for the monkeys to eat. They were just studying these monkeys' behavior. Okay, the monkeys loved the sweet potatoes, but there was a problem. The monkeys didn't like the grittiness that those potatoes ended up having. So they would be a little bit wet, they'd be in the sand, and they got gritty. So the monkeys kind of had a distaste for that grit with the sand all over them. So in 1953, a young female monkey that the researchers named Emo figured something out. She washed her sweet potato in a stream to get the sand off. So this would have been inland some. Problem solved, she figured it out on her own. And so she started washing her potatoes before she ate them. And here's where it gets interesting. Her mother learned it. Her mother saw her young female monkey daughter doing this behavior, and she started imitating it. Her playmates learned it, and then it spread, but slowly. So we're talking family by family, friend by friend, group by group. And then by March of 1958, we're talking 5 years later, about half of the troop was washing their potatoes.
Okay,
about half of this population on this one island. We're talking about an area where there was a group of small islands, okay? But it was still spreading the normal way, monkey to monkey.
Like monkey see, monkey do.
Exactly.
Like that, right?
Exactly. So then it comes to fall of 1958. And this is where the story gets interesting. According to observation, once enough monkeys, let's say around 99, had learned to wash their potatoes, something shifted. One more monkey learned the behavior. Just one more, and then boom. Suddenly, the whole troop got it. Almost overnight, all the monkeys were washing their potatoes, even the ones that had not seen the behavior. They weren't learning it linearly. They weren't being taught by someone else living right there.
Right.
They just suddenly picked up the behavior. And then what happened next is more fascinating. That behavior jumped the waters. So monkeys on other surrounding islands who were not even living in proximity of this initial group started washing their potatoes. So this was like a contagious field. And can I tell us, folks, let's remind ourselves that frequency is contagious.
Yes.
Okay.
It is.
And when you are putting out a strong signal, others can pick up on that and what we call entrain to your thought, your feeling, your frequency. And that works for the positive and the negative.
Yes.
The good news is that the highest frequency wins.
That's awesome.
So an intentional, asserted, positive thought, which is a higher vibrational frequency of consciousness, will trump a whole bunch of negative thoughts. It's going to have a lot more power. Okay? This is kind of like David and Goliath.
That's why it's so important of who you're spending your day in your company. Who's in your company? Yes.
Exactly.
For sure.
And what company you're creating yourself.
Right.
What are you causing your field to be that people pick up on when they're around you?
Yes.
Like when you walk in the room, do people just feel... I'm so glad she's here. I don't know why, but I always feel better when she walks in the room.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Or is it the opposite? Does that depend on whether your child made their bed this morning or not?
Right.
Are they going to know that you're going to have something negative to say when you walk in or not? So imagine that you could be the patient person in line who's bringing love and appreciation and patience to a frazzled cashier that makes her day. And then you leave and she's uplifted and she makes that next customer's day.
Yes.
I've seen this in line at Starbucks
Absolutely.
Before. People have like paid it forward and I pull up and they go, the person in the car in front of you already bought your coffee. Right. So, you know, we can be a blessing to others even Absolutely. When we don't see it.
I have a mentor. I always keep her in mind when I'm engaging with maybe a difficult or challenging person that I'm thinking, I'm like, how would she respond or react? And she's always so gracious and a smile and love, just exuding love constantly. And I'm like, okay, practicing that, knowing that, and seeing that in someone else, and not just the circumstances that they're surrounded in or we're surrounded in that moment.
And then you see what this woman has done? She's created such a presence that she has a reputation.
Mm-hmm.
And here we are being uplifted by her. We've never seen or heard of her.
Right.
And we're being uplifted just by the story.
Yes.
Okay, of how she's being. My grandmother was like that. So when we come back from the break, we're going to be talking more about how you can intentionally contribute to that field and how that field can bring you your just rewards. It is a glorious place to receive from
glorious.
It. Stay tuned.
Starts here.
And welcome back. This is Faith Consciousness Radio with Dr. Leslie and Reverend Shari on the mic, where you move from victim of your history to author of your destiny.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how does that happen? Author of your destiny means you can move from automatic to manual, and you can take hold of the steering wheel and begin to understand how to intentionally submit that signal, okay, that coherent frequency into your personal and the collective field and end up having a new outcome in your world. So your day-to-day reality will begin to shift when your field shifts. And today we're talking about how you can be a contributor, and you are a contributor,
mm-hmm.
know it or not,
mm-hmm.
like it or not. You are contributing. You're either being part of the problem and you're adding to the chaos, to the disruption, to the disorder, to the destruction in the field, thought by thought, feeling by feeling, resentment by resentment.
And most people are doing it very passively, mm-hmm. not knowing how they're contributing.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, the scrolling or the things, and what you're paying attention to, you're expanding.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And friends, do you know that a lot of times, even when you're like, no, well, I haven't been blaming people, I haven't been feeling angry or hateful. If you are feeling powerless and victimized, you are pulling that frequency all the way down. Don't think that makes you a good person just because you feel like you're at the bottom of the totem pole.
Right.
Okay? It doesn't take being aggressive to be causing a destructive impact on the field. If you are self-doubting, self-hating, regretting, okay, you are not only making yourself miserable, you're adding to, you're contributing to the disorder in the field. And the good news is all you have to do is make another choice.
That's good.
Yeah? Make another choice.
Because we're always at choice.
Yeah.
We're always at choice.
We are, and it begins with knowing I am not my thoughts. Like, I can choose my thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you feel like my thoughts are choosing me and I can't even get away from it. You know, scripture talks about that.
Right.
It talks about taking captive every thought. Well, I mean, what do you do when you take something captive? You got to kind of sneak up behind it and grab it and say, you are my captive one, right?
Right. But then also to know what to put in place of it, you know. Making a conscious choice of what am I feeding myself? What am I going to be saying? Or what type of affirmation? Just something pleasant. And then we talked about it, I guess, last week, just smiling. Sometimes it's just being silent and just smile.
Yeah, even if it's to ourselves.
Yes.
You can be in the car, and if you move that, if you turn that frown upside down, I know it sounds trite, but research shows just changing the positioning of your face begins to shift your brain chemistry, and your body will start to remember what it feels like for you to be happy, okay? And it starts
powerful.
To come back in, okay? Just remember, what does happiness, and know that happiness is a choice, right? You can choose it anytime. You can choose a frequency, even when suffering has been your predominant way of being, and you could find 100 reasons to justify suffering. You can also insert something else. And the reason being that you can change your outcome and your experience by making that intentional shift, let that be enough cause for you to interject. okay, and do that new thing. So again, we're going to go into a little bit more of the research about how people can contribute to the planetary field and make a difference. So we talked about the 100th monkey syndrome mm-hmm. and how there can be this thing hit where critical mass causes a change in the greater yes. field, and people who haven't even heard that conversation are suddenly thinking that thought, feeling that feeling, and behaving that behavior mm-hmm. that no one taught them. I'm going to give a quick yes. example, okay? Mm-hmm. My father... Now, there's no judgment here. I know I talk about my dad a lot. I just loved my father. He's mm-hmm. he's not in here in the physical anymore, but his spirit is eternal as we are.
Yes, we are.
Okay, but Dad just blessed me with a lot of wisdom. And here's one thing where he blessed me by wisdom through my observing him. Mm. When, like decades ago, I was moving into holistic medicine. I was practicing some yoga, these amazing stretching exercises I was mm-hmm. doing that helped my posture, helped a lot of my patients with back pain. And my dad went, oh, yoga's of the devil. Okay. And so, you know, from our ignorance, Jesus said, forgive them, they know not.
Yes.
So, friends, a lot of times we can stereotype things that we don't truly understand.
Mm-hmm.
And it's real easy to put something in a box that's outside of what we're believing and practicing, engaging
right.
with. Okay. So he used to think and say that. And I was living in New Zealand and I would come and visit like once a year. So I wasn't there for the day-to-day gradual changes. I was able to kind of observe bigger change at once mm-hmm. because of the time gap. Well, the last 7 years of my father's life, and he was a committed Christian, just loved the Lord. He had a yoga instructor coming to his house with his wife having yoga classes there twice a week.
Isn't that something?
Told me the name of the postures. Did Dad ever change his mind? Did he ever have a turning point? He said, you know, I was wrong about that. The answer is no. I'm going to say that 100th monkey syndrome happened.
Mm.
Yoga came from being this weird, unusual thing that you didn't see very much
right.
to being on every corner was a yoga studio. It became normal. Churches had their Christian yoga classes and they had prayer and scriptures read amongst the yoga poses, okay?
Wow.
Dad loved it. He never made a conscious turn. He just changed his perception. I'm telling you, the field changed. And I can tell you personally, the same thing happened with the practice of chiropractic. Okay,
yes.
It is common and embraced and paid for by insurance now. And 100-plus years ago, chiropractors were put in jail.
Yeah. We're seeing that with a lot of things, acupuncture,
yes.
chiropractic.
Yes. Many things.
So many things.
Understand there is this outcome, this 100th monkey syndrome. There's also the Maharishi effect. And I'm going to tell you, this was started in 1960, where Maharishi Mahesh Yogi made a wild prediction. He said, if just 1% of a city practices deep meditation, the whole city changes. Crime drops. People feel safer. The whole vibe shifts. And everybody was like, sure, nice spirituality talk.
right.
Okay. However, in the 1970s, researchers actually tested it. Okay. They looked at 48 American cities and compared the ones where 1% of people meditated to cities where nobody was meditating. So this was
wow.
a meditation experiment
mm-hmm.
looking across the country at various cities for control groups
mm-hmm.
and the ones that were being impacted by meditation. And the meditating cities had crime dropping 22%, while the other cities had crime going up. Okay, so this got people's attention, and then we're going to fast forward to 1993, where there was something else specific done in Washington, D.C. The researchers basically said, okay, we're going to bring a bunch of meditators to the city for 2 months, and we're going to predict what's going to happen. They told the police, the mayor, everybody, and during those 2 months, violent crime dropped 23%, well, 1% more than what had happened in that previous study, okay? The odds of that happening by accident, less than 2 in a billion, okay? Less than 2 in a billion. So understand that this is where it gets really interesting. We're talking about researchers controlled for everything. They accounted for population, income, police presence, season, all of it. So it wasn't some hidden variable. It was genuinely the meditation. Mm-hmm. So the theory is this: the consciousness works like a field. You know how an electromagnetic field works invisibly around a magnet?
Yes. Yes.
Okay? You hold, and when I was in kindergarten, we hold a magnet under the paper and they put the little metal files on top and they all move around like magic. Oh, is that magic? No, it's magnet. Okay? Not magic, but magnet. Okay? So imagine yourself being a magnet. Okay? You have a field around you and it is causing an effect even on the physical things in your world. It's invisible, but it is so real. And that's where we leap into faith consciousness, okay?
And for us to just truly embrace that we are just that powerful, that we are just that significant, each one of us individually, let alone collectively.
Absolutely. So, and that, that's the beautiful part. You don't need everybody. You need 1%, a tipping point, and that's your critical mass.
Yes.
That's the 100th monkey. So again, if you're one person in a room of negative talking and thinking or arguing or politically opinionated who are hating on the opposite party, and you're holding an intentional, coherent field of peace, okay? And meditation is just one way where we can consciously move into a state of peace, of inner silence, of just ease and grace, not having, not even asserting a certain thought.
Exactly, yes.
We can just move to that place of grace.
Of ease and grace.
Which
I love
is
that.
Just stillness. The Bible says, be still,
be still and know.
I am God. Right? So in that stillness, that knowing can be present because it is everywhere all the time. If we can only still ourselves enough to experience it. So we create that, and there it is, and the impact happens. Absolutely.
That is beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing that information.
Right. And we're back at Faith Consciousness Radio with Dr. Leslie and Reverend Shari on the mic, and we are talking about how you contribute to that field. So, friends, this is a reminder that next week we're going to have Dr. Cammie Benton on from Benton and Integrative Medicine.
Looking forward to that.
Yeah. So reminding you that when you are being intentional about that field, it doesn't just mean that the tone of conversations change, that relationships start to get better, that even wealth and health come to you more easily. It means that targeted changes can happen in your physical body. And that's what we're going to talk about next week, is how I personally, under Dr. Cammie's guidance, okay, she was my overseeing medical doctor, I had spontaneous remission of breast cancer last year. And we're going to talk about the components that came together to bring about that, quote, miraculous outcome. There was an amazing event that took place in a moment. I had kind of a spiritual encounter and an energetic encounter, physical change in my body, and an emotional encounter all at once while I was on a particular healing device. There was an energy healing device that was emitting certain radio frequencies. I was on my fifth session of that. We'll talk about the other components that kind of came together to create, boom, this moment that changed everything and had my body rearrange itself, okay? And Dr. Cammie will help explain that too, because this is the intention that she stands behind as well as a medical doctor. So she's going to be on next week learning more about how life can be rearranged intentionally when we align with that faith frequency, which says, regardless of what I'm observing, I'm intentionally emitting to the field. Okay, so Reverend Shar, I wanted to ask you a couple questions about your own experience. Okay, from your perspective as a New Thought minister, how does the idea of collective prayer or treatment map into what we're talking about here? How does collective prayer or collective treatment, which I've experienced a couple times.
Yes, okay. And I love, thank you for asking that question, because that is totally in congruency of what we believe in Science of Mind teaching. We believe there's only one life, there's only one mind, and so we are one with this quantum field. And I love it because science and religion are no longer at war for me. It all makes sense. And so collectively, we know the power that we are able to have together. Even scripturally, we say one can chase 1,000, two can chase 10,000. That collectively, how great our treatments or affirmative prayers are when we're all in alignment and in agreement. And the beauty of that is that oneness, that love prevails, and that we are knowing our truth of wholeness and one, and not being separate from each other. Mm-hmm. So we focus on that. We focus on the oneness and lift us all up.
Right. Okay. So we're being one because of all of us. Is this kind of like fish swimming in the water?
That's a good visualization of it as well. But just when you say one body, or even in the Bible where it says one body, we're all one. And so there is no separation. I use the statement that we're blinded by sight, something that you hinted on earlier, that it's the illusion that we're all separate. You know, it's like that 100th monkey or the thought jumping the waters, because we're all connected.
Mm.
You know, we're all in the same field. And the illusion is that we are separate. That's the illusion. And so when we can focus on our oneness, just like in the body, if I stump my baby toe, it's going to hurt. My entire body is going to feel that and respond. So to think that we can do something to the least of us, or the greater of us, so-called, if that's even a thing, and feel like we're not going to be affected by that, that is an illusion. That's not the truth. And it shows up every day in our lives. So we have to stop playing that game and acting like if we're doing something to someone else, that it's not going to bring us any harm or lift us. Just like when I'm sending love to someone, I feel that. I feel that back. But if I'm bringing harm to someone, I feel that as well.
It's just like, it's just like that understanding that unforgiveness or resentment hurts ourselves.
Yeah.
You know, and ultimately can result in disease if we hold and harbor that kind of resentment for a long time.
So I'm loving now that science is able to bring us some true answers and help to resolve some combative issues that we know to be true, even in our scriptures or in our ancient texts that say that love prevails, that we are one.
Mm, absolutely, we are. And, I don't know, the scripture where Jesus kind of introduced that oneness concept that comes to my mind is when in the New Testament, where the adulterous woman was there, and according to the law, okay, according to scriptures and the law of God, the villagers were there ready to stone her to death because that was the way at that time. And it was God's way at a point in time from that consciousness level, which we call polarity consciousness. Well, Jesus is here and he says, you who have not sinned, you cast the first stone. So it means when you look at her, you're looking at you.
That's right.
Because everybody's messed up, okay? Mm-hmm. Everybody has missed the mark. And so this is that introduction of that. Instead of me being separate from her and judging and condemning her, we begin to see ourselves and others and realize that it's more than just us versus them. There's a collective here. Okay, and what we put out in that field, even what we're thinking and feeling, and most importantly, what we're thinking and feeling, right? Doesn't matter if you're covering it up and saying something different. What's causing the biggest effect in that vibrational field of consciousness is how you feel and what you're thinking.
And most of that is coming from a place of fear, that place of fear. And so the opposite of fear is love.
Right.
Yeah.
It is. So if you are walking around with your nervous system in that stress response, in that sympathetic response, that's rooted in fear. And we are knowing now that neurologically you can begin to rewire. You can begin to make things different. Now, let's have a little experience that brings that about right now. Mm. Friends, before we close out the show, I'm going to bring you into a three-minute reset. Let's just experience it now, what it feels like to make that shift within.
This is a guided sound journey to help you move into a state of ease and grace. I'm your verbal guide, Leslie Wells, and Dina Baker, bringing through sounds. Take a deep breath in. Let it out very slowly, allowing the nervous system to move into a state of parasympathetic response. Gently close your eyes. Imagine being like a sponge. Allow the sounds to carry you. I will count from 5 to 1 to take you to a more relaxed, open state of being. 4, 3, going deeper with every number. 2, allowing the sounds to take you deeper. And 1. Bring your awareness to the center of your chest. Notice the gentle movement with your breath. Imagine the sounds moving through your tissues, the cells of your body, all the way down to the particles and waves of your being, your field. Imagine your body dissolving into light. Take a deep breath in. Feel that exhale come out. Find yourself awake again and in the room. And gently open your eyes.
And you can access that 3-minute reset anytime you want for free on faithflowradio.com. Just take it and use it. And ask yourself, what is your vibrational contribution right now, today, this week? What am I feeding most of my attention to? How does the way I feel in my body contribute to this field? Know that you are making a difference and choose to make it a positive one. Friends, thank you for joining us today. And remember that you are never alone. You are loved. You are worthy. And all is well. See you next time and walk sacred.
Great radio doesn't end here. Catch the full episode and dive or
cannonball
into our archives on the WSIC News app.
WSIC, 105.9 FM, 100.7 FM, 1400 AM, Statesville, Lake Norman's home for local talk radio. WSIC, local, starts here.